stuff, and it's gotten a lot.
Today is April the 11th, Thursday, April the 11th, the day of the recovery plan review meeting. The time is now 2:32.
I got a picture I'll show you of all the, and cherimoya. That cherimoya, it's like a mixture of an apple and a pear, brown sugar. Ooh, really good.
Okay, we're all set.
Are you ready?
Brenda got the is recording on.
She says on.
I called to order the recovery plan meeting of Lakeland Housing Authority on Thursday, May the 11th, 2:30. Those present, the director, Director Stevenson, Valerie Brown, Carlos Lazaro, and
Patrick Robinson,
yeah. And Commissioner, also is Commissioner Hall is here. I understand the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Moment of silence. Thank you. Quorum has been established. Commissioner Hall and myself are here. And approval of the meeting of the agenda. Anything to be changed or added to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll approve the agenda for this current meeting. Approve the minutes of the recovery plan meeting April 12th. Commissioner Hall was out of town, and the minutes appear to be in order, so therefore we'll receive them as written. All business.
Maybe then. Westlake Phase 1, we responded to the comments and have been on this application. However, HUD is still having problems seeing our responses in the NPIC. We emailed responses to the reviewer as well as to the director, and but they still said they couldn't see him. And so they're going to reassign the applicants to a new reviewer. And the TA person who we're talking to, he also said he can't see it as well. But everything is showing that submitted on our end. And we placed a call to the TA person today, trying to talk with them to ask. So I'll be right there, printed out the application, about that thick. And we're going to just want to file for him. Do you want us to email everything to him? We can mail him a paper copy or whatever. And so, so that they can do their review.
So we still don't have any indication of when they're going to respond, the way it's been juggled around.
Right. And we'll probably have our HUD consultant, parent care attorney, call some of our friends.
Okay. See if, how's this going to affect the dates? We've got enough, got enough wiggle room that it won't affect the outcome.
And same with the location plan. We submitted that to the field office. And it's another case of hurry and wait. And we include a copy of the location plan in this one board package. Because they are understaffed and inexperienced and all of that. And so it's. It is what it is, as they say. All we can do is just submit the stuff and then just try it, because the same with the revenue for the award and property vouchers. That's been with them for 2 months, and no word from it, and that's as simple as it gets. We've done it the second time, put it out, only got one bid each time, the same bid. So they consider making it again for them to review and make sure everything is on it. And they recommend an award. We made sure you follow all the regs, everything, and sent it to them, laid it out to them. But been there for 2 months.
Okay. So any indication why they have to take us on? Are they understaffed or overloaded or what? Have they given any indication why we're not getting them?
I'll probably tell you outside the meeting.
Okay.
But official response is that they've been hit with a lot of retirements and they don't have staff to.
That's
the. Okay. And they said the first one will never hire any new staff. So,
so the problem when they where they couldn't see, is that a computer issue, or?
That's our assumption, because see on our end, it's showing everything has submitted.
That's true.
But apparently, I guess on their portal, they're saying, well, this, we see nothing. Before they said they saw one or two, but now they said they see nothing. Right, Carlos? That's what he said, he sees nothing.
Yeah, he couldn't open it.
Yeah.
So they want us to submit it again or send them a hard copy?
We've already done that. And like, that's the question we gave them today. And so, because I've emailed it to staff as well as to the director. So, yeah, two or three copies just floating around there. So,
and this is in Washington, or this is
Chicago.
In Miami or Chicago?
Chicago. They demo developed with the site office, and modeled it after an application that was approved using their same logic. Plus additional documentation that, like, parents went out there and didn't have. So, you know, it's like.
I wonder if anybody else is having the similar problem with not being able, to see.
That's a good question.
So, I wonder who we could find that out from.
Oh, Ben.
They've owned their third director in the last six months. And a lot of staff have changed. But talking to a retired senior health official this week, and he gave me a name.
Oh,
okay. So, reach out to Maine or have Karen K. Turner, because she thinks she's familiar with her as well.
That would be good. Hey, can I talk to Ben? Who's calling Ben?
Me and my Ben are getting stuck in elevators. That sent them a good message. Okay, all right. So that's Westlake.
Yeah, we're phase one, phase two, the same thing. We got the funding, and we're phase one. We're starting to have bi-weekly calls with the developer, and then monthly calls with all the other partners, the investors, and all of those, and the attorneys, and all of that. So, and we're still targeting late August or September. And we should have all our HUD issues worked out by then. And stuff. So, because I think once we get stuff out of Jacksonville, we'll be okay. But phase two, still preliminary discussions. And I don't know if I told you guys, we're probably going to have to privatize the streets out there.
Oh.
And because of, if not, they would have to bring the streets up to the city code.
Oh, yeah.
And that added additional expense, you know, to the government's dollar type. And so what we told them to do was they got to increase.
to privatize the streets.
Really, just one main street. Yeah. One brings it down to the center of the property.
And increase the fees to cover it.
If we were to make it a city street, it'd have to be brought up to code.
Right.
And so the street would have to be widened, and some other improvements have to be made to bring up the code, which would be an additional cost, $50,000.
So right now it's ADA code, right? I mean, it's all, as far as ramps and everything, accessibility. It's not.
Yeah, no, those streets are 50, 60 years old, so they were built long before they were ADA. But then the new streets would be able to accommodate larger vehicles and that type of thing.
Are we going to call it Ben Avenue, or? Not after you, but after.
After a while, you're going to change your name, but they keep referring. They keep referring to Ben, they think it's you. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And then also, as you all know, we decided to back off from the purchase of the Cambridge Code. We just couldn't get a deadline for a contract to be negotiated. I think for a variety of reasons. And we've outreached to the seller, to the director of the seller, which I'm pretty sure they are, but I'm thinking they're going to increase their fee, the price. And again, we haven't spoken to them. We had some callbacks that I wonder what it costs to the media to be the phone that phone. But we may reach out to the seller and just find out if he's going to that same price or if he's going to increase the price. And if he's going to increase the price, I think he's going to work for us.
So we're not actively pursuing it anymore?
Not with the increase in the price. Right. We just want to reach out to him and see if it's the same price. Because if it's the same price, you know, it's a longer process, and then we can work with our clinical and get a bond set up and that type of thing. So, but that's at that same price, but not at a new and increased price. And then the next big thing is Williamstown. Did y'all get all y'all saved the date?
Yep.
Did you get your invitation as well?
Yep, came over the email.
I haven't.
You haven't checked the email, Mom?
No, I haven't checked it.
Well, hey, Mom. We're having a groundbreaking ceremony. It's coming Tuesday morning at 9 a.m.
We're having it at this.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's 4379 Williamstown Boulevard.
And is there anybody from Home Depot coming to that we know of, or?
No, I don't think we, if you give us a name or something like
that. So?
They won't be, you know, recognized because they don't have any money. But we'll invite them. We just tell them we'll be invited. We'll get some invitations. No problem.
At 9 o'clock?
Uh-huh. A.M. We'll have a complimentary breakfast, bagels, pastries, fruit, orange juice, apple juice, water, coffee. And someone from Senator Nelson's office is going to come. Someone from Congressman Roth's office is going to come, but they're not allowed to speak. Because they're going to be out in the audience. And then the mayor's out of town, out of the country, or something like that. But Philip Walker and Jim Aless are going to speak and possibly come and sign us.
So how long will the whole thing take, do you think?
MC right there.
A couple of hours, probably.
You're going to keep it moving.
Yeah, keep it moving.
I've got 1 minute 10, so I can need to change it.
Yeah, we should be. We can try to get it.
30, 45 minutes.
Yeah. we'll be close to finishing up. Depending on how long the speaker speaks.
Yeah. and then we have some shovels. We have 15 shovels to dig some dirt, photo out. And so we'll go from there.
How many units are we putting up there?
48
men. Okay. Mm-hmm. And three of them are going to be built by you, Bill.
Yes.
Good.
Did a press release, looked like the ledger's gonna cover it. They asking for a regular meeting. I referred to Steve Boynton. So and by tomorrow we'll send it to the TV stations.
Okay.
Yeah.
The press release is going on when?
I'm sorry?
The press release?
Yeah, I sent it to the Ledger today.
Yeah, okay.
Because in case they want to do a story this weekend.
Yeah, right.
And probably send it to the TV station tomorrow.
Good, good. Okay, that'd be good.
Yeah. And that's about it.
Okay. Before Williamstown, what was the previous one that we were involved in? Anything? Building actual units.
Oh, this is our first
construction. This is our first new construction. That's what
yeah,
I wanted.
Because we had to fix some things.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's good.
How many years was it? This would be our first construction for the Housing Authority in how many years?
Oh, since 2011.
But that was not new construction. It's probably the first new construction in about 20 years.
Bartow.
Bartow, they bought the land and built it new.
So when was that?
2009.
So since 2009, this is the first time we've come out of the ground.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. First new construction in 8 years, so 2009.
Yeah, That's good.
We're going to do it right this time.
Okay. I mean, that's really something you can... when you speak, if somebody speaks, you mention it. I'll mention it. Nobody else does.
Yeah. I'm just going to do a welcome.
Okay.
I'm going to say I'll do that so you folks are higher than me.
Oh boy. So we come a long way.
Yeah. Come a long way. Oh, and at the board meeting, we'll give you guys the paper invitation as well as the souvenir that's going to be passed out at the agenda also. So that we will make sure that. You get a souvenir and take your schedule and allow you to obtain at least one commission won't be there.
Oh,
people
okay.
Will be out of town.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. He said he's going to go and do some reconnaissance.
They be careful, they might not let them out the country. All right. Okay, that's good. So as far as we know, all the other commissioners will be there, hopefully.
Anybody responded?
Miss Dot will be there, Commissioner Dot, Commissioner Sanders. I don't know about Commissioner Pimentel. I haven't heard from him.
No, he won't be there.
He won't be there.
Work.
He's working. Okay. It's too bad. Yeah.
Commissioner Hall.
Williamstown? Yeah, I'll be there.
Commissioner Hall. Had heard from Commissioner Perry.
Rob Robinson.
No, he don't read emails, and I took him a paper invitation today.
I'll see him tonight. I'll find out.
Yeah. He don't read emails. So. Miss Cynthia took him an invitation.
I'll get a hold of him. Get there in time to pick up a shovel.
Yeah, that's right. Tell that shovel starts at 9.
He should motivate him.
Put a photo op, yeah.
Get there in time for that.
Oh, boy.
I guarantee you.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we'll need to come with a list of folks who want to get use the shovels.
Yeah, in case you run out of
them. Yeah, we got 15.
So, Melis.
Well, we go with pecking order, yeah.
Commissioner Melis will have a shovel.
He and Fuller Walker, they will have a shovel.
And Five will as well.
Yeah.
So we'll have a photo with Jim Melis.
You ran against him?
Yes, I did.
Are you going to piss him off at
No, I support Melis.
He's a good guy. He's like a nice guy.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
It's my throat of dirt on his shoes. We're going to make
sure you don't miss it and
he's on that. All right. I can
toss it good. My bad.
I said to you, I'm great. Good news. Nothing but good news. All right, how's it in operation?
Not much. Well, I guess it's, if you consider all the changes that are coming down from from now until I don't know when, but things are going kind of crazy. But we received the CIMA certification for Section 8, so we kept the high performer for the program. 4 years in a row. And again, for Section A in particular, we're working.
And also, Farrell said that the real time project is a feature article in that newsletter from August.
Oh, great.
I guess June or July. Yeah, June, July.
With Section 8, we're trying to make sense of the funding disbursement and the money they have in the hot side that is belong to us, and the way they release the funding every month. And it's kind of been kind of difficult to manage the program, but we're getting by, and the staff is doing great with, you know, because right now we don't know how much money they're going to release, and then they release some of the money, and then mid-month they go and say, oh, I think you need 18,000 more, so I'm going to send you more money. It makes no sense what they're doing. It's you know. So public housing, we're getting more subsidies, so I'm happy about that one. But Section A is one of our core businesses. So. We have few vacant units. I think was Berto due to death. About three residents, they died within 10 days of each other. But we waited for the family to collect everything, and then we turned the unit and we moved people in.
That's in Berto. In Berto,
yeah. Berto. The manager was calling me every day, oh my God, another one. So, difficult for the staff, but other than that, everything else is going great.
Financials.
Central Office Cost Center has positive NOI for the period and year to date. The $45,676 that we're holding for year to date, we're trying to be very conservative with it because I'm still trying to work with staff to resolve the situation with Youth Bill. If you go to the very last report, Youth Bill has negative NOI, and we're still trying to map the split the expenses from the revenue from when we had the accounts shared together. So I do anticipate that some of that money will, the bulk of that money, end up being transferred to Youth Bill once we finish the reconciliations. As far as the total cash,
so the negative for Youth Bill is really a paper.
Yeah, because one,
the money's there. It's just a matter of getting it over to
them. Getting it over to them, and the issue with getting it over is we had the three-way accounting because the money was being deposited to the LHA and Master. And so when you see that $76,000 that shows on their balance sheet of their cash being in the Master, I have to really truly make sure it is because COCC and Youth Bill were sharing the account.
Right.
And just making sure that the money is coming from the right source.
Yeah, I got it.
Since especially I'm very cautious with that because CDC is non-federal, but public housing and Youth Bill are federal programs. So want to make sure that we have who actually owes whom correctly. And then when you look at the cash that's actually unrestricted sitting in COCC's account is $62,000, which is a little less than what's showing on the changes in cash, and I know that's because checks just hadn't cleared at the time of running the report. Section 8 has negative NOI for both the admin as well as the HAP. But there are multiple things going on there. One is the reduction in subsidy. Section 8 has historically been funded at 97% of what is actually able to get across the country. As of January to March, as of January to April 2017, the government has been funding Section 8 at 94%, so that 3% does make a difference, but in addition to that, we have HUD held reserves that, you know, we have to use. We've been absorbing clients. Some clients have vouchers within their port-ins, then they're coming from jurisdictions where, I'm sorry, they're porting out into jurisdictions where they have to pay a higher rent than what we pay. So a one-bedroom here is not necessarily comparable to a one-bedroom in Chicago. I'm not saying that's where the family, but we do have situations where our voucher is paying for one person, which will be equal to possibly two families here, but they've poured it out to other jurisdictions. So it's a combination of items with Section 8 that's accounting for the negative NOI. But as Carlos mentioned, we do have HUD health reserves. They look at our monthly performance and then determine what they're going to give us for the upcoming. And so it'll probably be a roller coaster for a while until they actually get out of the, I guess what they have the...
Well, at least until Congress and the President decide what they're going to do with the budget. So who knows?
But as far as their actual cash in the accounts, we're at $358,000, which is consistent with the changes in cash, statements of cash. But when you look at the difference, you can see that both for the period and for the year to date, we have negative changes in cash based on how our subsidies come in. Unlike COCC, we have been experiencing positive changes in cash. Public housing, AMP 1. Has positive NOI for the year to date as well as the period. And as you notice, normally I had two NOI lines because I was trying to factor in the sale of the property and let you see your NOI separate from that. despite the fact that we've transferred those funds out of AMP 1, you still have positive NOI for the period to end year to date. When you look at the balance sheet, you can see where we transferred the cash, because we actually put the cash in the AMP that has the property. When our system was set up by Yardi in the prior administration in 2010, they put in AMP 1 the properties that actually had units on them, not the vacant lots. They put those separately. So even though LHA sold the property and the accounts with AMP, with property 10, AMP 1, you actually have to, for the books, then transfer it to the actual place where the land was, so you can make the correction, because the land was shown in 10th Street. So that's why you see a due from development. It's a credit on the balance. Well, it was transferred out negatively, but it's a credit to development, because we got that cash instead of land. So when you look at that AMP, you'll actually see that the cash asset went from a piece of property that was worth $1.3 million to cash in the book. So that's why you no longer have to worry about that showing up in the income statements for AMP 1. But the cash is actually physically still sitting in AMP 1. When you look at cash on the balance sheet, total cash, you see $2.5 million, which is consistent with the changes in cash. And that's because I physically have to do the documents to set up the bank accounts for the money that goes to Williamstown to go to Williamstown, and then we'll hold the money for Westlake until Westlake closes. So, just to give you an idea, but the good thing is for the period, AMP 1 has positive changes in cash both for the period and year to date. And part of that is the fact that HUD recognized that they under-subsidized AMP 1 for January through April, January through March, and in April they gave AMP one additional subsidy to cover the deficit. Dakota Park, even when you don't factor into depreciation, the NOI is negative for the period and year to date. If you look at the variances on rental income, they're above what we budgeted there. At 7.8% for the period and 6% for year to date. So they are collecting rent. If you look at government subsidy, you see we're 47% higher than what we anticipated for the period, 6% higher than what we anticipated for the year. It's just that we're still, despite them giving us more money January through March, and despite the property manager collecting rents, it's only 40 units. Typically, if you want an ideal property that easily cash flows, you need at least 50 units, which is why we worked really hard to get as close to 50 as we could on Williamstown. We're at 48 because we had to save trees. Trees trumped 2 units. But so we'll just have to look at other innovative methods to try to get that property where it has a positive cash flow before depreciation. But the manager is doing her job. HUD is giving us additional subsidy. It's just not having those 10 units make a big difference. When you look at the balance sheet, we have $42,009 in cash, which is consistent with the changes in cash, with the cash statement. And if you look at the changes in cash, beginning and ending balances for the year to date and the period, they are positive. So you could tell that HUD is helping and property manager is streamlining and trying to get the expenses down. It's just sometimes when you're handicapped, you're just handicapped. Yeah. You can't get, you know, you can't have the same performance as a property that would at least have 50 units. So we have to take that in consideration, that they're doing everything that they can do. And in Renaissance and Washington Ridge, it has positive NOI for the period and year to date. We have the same manager at Renaissance as we have and as you can see, she is, her rent collections are above budget, 2.6% for the period. 3.41% for the year to date. She has been doing a lot of tennis services because they not only had that event where they had the fair with the, when the city brought in the stage in March, but now they're actually working with New Life Outreach Ministry to host events at the Dream Center for Mother's Day, which that'll be tomorrow, isn't it? They have $1.2 million in cash on the balance sheet, which is also consistent with the changes in cash, and again, their beginning and ending balances for both the period and the year to date reflect positive cash, so they are actively collecting and the subsidy is in line. Colton Meadows has positive NOI for the period and year to date. Before depreciation, there's really nothing extraordinary to talk about with Colton Meadows, other than the fact that on the maintenance side, that we have some expenses that are slightly over budget due to painting of the units and other improvements that we've done for Colton. Don't we have an audit schedule?
We painted all the front doors and back doors.
Okay. Yeah, but I know a lot of the extra attention to the maintenance has been we got an audit, but I didn't realize it was tomorrow. So, happy Mother's Day. as far as the balance sheet, you have $668,000 in cash, which is consistent with the cash statement. And again, Colton Meadows has positive changes in cash for both period and year to date, despite all the extra work you've been doing to get ready for the audit. Bonnet Shores has positive NOI for the year to date, is negative for the period. When I look at, I know they have been having issues with the utility expenses associated with water and sewer, because I remember the, I remember the manager coming in to talk about that. And then on the maintenance side, they did have to do tree removal, and they were painting the units because their audit occurred in March. So you have a lot of expenses that hit between prepping for the audit that happened in March, as well as some unforeseen with removing the tree and some additional issues with the utility expenses. But when you look at the balance sheet, they have $787,000 in cash, which is consistent with the cash statements, about $1,000 difference. And they have had negative changes in cash for the period, but overall for year to date, the change in cash is positive. And we still have to think well of Bonnet because Bonnet's paid all his deferred development fees. So,
with Bonnet, any cash flow moving forward, he's going to go to investors or people that put some money at the beginning or people that are not expecting to get any money. So we have to really manage the budget to be breaking even.
Barco has positive NOI for the period and year to date. There's nothing unusual about the expenses or the income statement. The cash, we have a total cash of $536,000. The cash report shows outstanding payments because it's a little bit higher. But again, they have positive changes in cash for the period and year to date. So they're doing well. Hampton Hills is the miracle child that has come back, miracle property. They've got some new life birthed into it now that it's actually getting operating subsidy from HUD. They got it in April when we anticipated having none, and then they got it again for May. So 2 months in a row they received operating subsidy, which is why you see they have positive NOI for the period and year to date. So that was an unexpected surprise for 2017 that we were happy to have. And then when you look at their actual total cash is $236,000. And then, of course, you see the reserves that's in there from the sale of the other houses. And then the cash statement is consistent, $236,000 in cash. And the changes in cash have been positive for both the period and year to date, despite the rent collections not being what they need to be because, you know, people with the job situation
right,
who...
How many more units we have left now?
Seven. And then youth bill,
we have they're investing part-time about they want to buy the mortgages for the mortgage for the seven. So.
Right, right.
Yeah. Trying to set that up.
Okay.
But we can't share them to them. We have to work through the consultant.
Yeah.
And let him do it.
Okay.
We can't do it.
And so then with youth bill, we've already discussed why we have the negative NOI. And if you look at the balance sheet to look at who could possibly owe the money, whether it's public housing or COCC, both of the entities have positive cash flow, have cash in the bank. It's just a matter of being crystal clear of who owes. It could be COCC or a combination of COCC and public housing when the actual cash transfers. But that's why when you look at the changes in cash for youth bill, you see it being negative. And you also see very little cash in the account. But again, DOL is paying for all the expenses associated with the base rent, with the exception of the match. And the match is being paid for by the partners such as Publix, Travelers, GiveWell. So it's just a matter of getting that cash resolved and transferred to the account that has not been expended. And then when we look at the grant report, you'll see movement. We've already submitted our first drawing, waiting for it to be funded on Williamstown, which will move the first two 2009 RHF funds grants. Once that voucher is approved, those two grants will be fully expended, and we will be will have got it expended well before the July 27, 2017 expenditure deadline. And then we also have typical movement on the youth bill 2014 and 2016 grants. At this point, all the expenses are being split for calendar year 2017, 50-50 between the 2014 grant and the 2016 grant. And then the one item that I'd like to point out on the administrative report, since I'm done with the, C2. If you go to the third page of the administration report, you will see the first set of pictures for Williamstown. And this is the day, the week that they mobilized. They mobilized on the 14th. So when you drive by and you see how clear and clean the site is, you see it went from a place where you could actually do military. You could actually do training. And then all of a sudden you come out a couple of days later and you see what you'll see in the pictures for next month, that it's clear, the trees were down, stacked up, and now they're actually mulched and being hauled off the site. So it'll look like we had a vacant, empty lot with the trees that they were trying to save by the time we had the groundbreaking. And then there's the Section 3 and MBE report. We're still working with the contractor to get a separate report of all his subcontractors, which ones are disadvantaged businesses, and then they'll be using Section 3 through youth bill, as well as looking to hire some Section 3 labor once they really get started on construction. And then the event for youth bill that everybody needs to be on the lookout for is they are celebrating 10 years this year, and they will actually be having someone from the youth bill national office come in to speak.
And you probably mentioned that in your comments with MC Williamstown. And we also will have the youth students there as well if you want to represent the parents.
If there are no questions, that's it for finance, well, for the administration report.
Just a quick question, not much is necessary, but somebody might ask.
Okay.
You have a like an artist rendition of what a micro cottage look like?
We'll be down. We ordered a couple of boards.
Yeah, that
board is going to be the floor plan. And then one of the
events. Yeah, that's it.
And then plus the new sign
that
we have. Why don't you go print out the sign?
Okay, and it's I got it being posted too. They're going to be three posters, the sign, the floor plan, and then one unit up close.
Yeah, somebody's
going to
ask.
I want to print that out so you can see it.
Okay.
You need three. What look like? I just have one for it. And then you can put it even in the area where they're going to be eating, you know.
So
while they're having the...
Exactly.
They can take
it. We won't have them up on the stage. We'll have one in the tent.
Yeah, put them under the tent so while people are mingling, getting their food, they can look at it.
And it's three easels.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to spend any time extra.
Yeah, and then the sign for the property itself,
right.
I have that vendor on it as well.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Yeah. We don't know when we'll be doing this again, so we might as well do it.
Well,
get all the credit we get.
Hopefully it's September.
Yeah. Your name on the plaque. Everybody likes to put your name on it. Don't put it on the plaque, it'd look good on your resume. boy, that's good. No, that's great. Okay.
You do have a resolution, even though it's not on.
Okay, and this is the UFIL's 10-year celebration.
Oh, she did have it there. Okay.
Yeah, she put it in here. Yep.
Thank you.
That's good.
Yeah, and the guy from the National UFIL office is supposed to come down.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. All right, what's the resolution all about here?
The travel policy
for
commissioners and employees.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the current one or the revised one?
This is the new one. We currently do not have
this,
one.
This is the new one? This is
new.
This is for commissioners.
And employees.
I thought we had one for employees.
We
never really had one for employees?
Yeah, but it was. It needed to be more robust.
Okay, so
a little bit more detailed.
So
we're just going to have one unified, more robust policy covering.
So this will replace the employee travel and the employee manual, and then apply to commissioners and employees.
Okay, so. All right, let's go to the, can you walk me through the changes? I see you got a red line here, so.
You want the red line?
Well, I thought I saw some. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it kind of just puts out what we've been following, okay? Like we go to, like, say, the second page of the actual policy itself. It tells you about the schedule we follow from the private technical career.
And then
it defines the jurisdiction, you know, what the operator is based in Lincoln, Polk County. And then go to the next page where you see definitions. Okay. And the main thing that you're probably interested in is the the other stuff is kind of self-explanatory, you know, like the reason for the trip, the reason for all that. And the main thing would be when you go to, like, say, G. It's kind of like what we already follow, but we just have the commissioners to follow it now, where, you know, the form whereby you have to be signed by the director. Because that would be identify the funds and all of that. And then talk about mileage, because we did have at least one occasion where a commissioner rented a car and then submitted for reimbursement for the car rental and mileage. Okay. And I think you can guess which commissioner that was. And then the parking and tolls and the like. And then with family. Basically, just talking about your family is allowed to travel with you at your expense, okay? They can stay in the hotel room with you, okay? And you can share your per diem with them, but you won't get a separate per diem
right. For
your family. And the authority would not make the travel arrangements for your family. Okay, we're making for the employee and the commissioner. And whereas the employees have to get permission to bring their spouse and children or the children, you know, commissioners, something like that. Y'all be my
right.
That's
right.
Bosses.
Okay.
And that's really all I have. That's really it. We just basically put what we've been doing in writing. And basically, and then it also has to be handled by the executive office. Okay. And that is.
Did this go out to all the commissioners in a package?
Yes. Yes. It was in there.
Because this is such a hot button item, I wonder if it would be wise to, particularly from commissioners, to allow them to digest it and make any comments.
That's fine. And you are just basically tabled until the next board meeting?
Well, I think it would be a wise decision. I don't know about anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Because we know there's going to be a lot of questions. And rather than have a long delayed meeting, I would submit it for review or what sort of thing, because has it gone by legal?
Legal wrote it.
Legal wrote it, okay.
So he bought it from, I guess, some other housing authorities,
yeah.
And then he tweaked it for this agency.
Okay.
And so we took out some of the stuff that didn't apply to us.
Yeah. I would defer to what Commissioner Pimentel might say, but my recommendation would be to
that's fine.
To defer it to the next meeting, give particular commissioners a chance to review it, make comments, and or any suggestions.
I'm fine with that.
You know, because we know where the bones are buried, so just to stay away from it, you know, just drag out the meeting and you end up with the same solution. Mm-hmm. To give them time to look at it. So
yeah, that's fine.
That would be my recommendation.
Yeah. I'm fine with it. Yeah.
It's nothing wrong with submitting it, but I would say we'd
matter to me.
Yeah,
I would say do it now or do it later. It doesn't matter.
Well, we'll leave it up to the board. But our suggestion would be to, unless some of them, if commission don't have any question, we can go ahead and put it forward.
More than submitted,
yeah. So
I would say that we should move forward with presenting it, and if there's, like, for sure, mentioned if it's.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I just work
it. No, I think we should present it. We should present it and then let the entire board make a decision. I mean,
I'm fine.
If there's no strong resistance, then we'll put it to a vote.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's
you probably won't have it as long as it's the one who will want to be able to be.
Oh.
Then let's do it. But you know, it's the same thing with the last time.
Right, exactly.
At the next meeting, you'll be saying, well, if I don't know, I want to do a
resolution is a process that we set forth. If it needs to be changed.
So, okay, I didn't realize. Okay.
And we can change that, right?
So, we'll let it go through. I mean, we'll let it go forward for a vote. If there's any strong opposition, we can come back and say we'll look at it. But, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, because, I mean, if the principal's all over, don't have any objections.
I don't think anybody have any strong objections except that one party that we're concerned about. Okay. All right. That's what we'll do. All right. Any other business to come before us at this point? Any new business?
It's freezing in here.
Okay. You're doing a great job. I think this is a great milestone for the, particularly where you come from. I think we've turned the corner and we're really making progress. So, kudos to you and the committee and the other workers and the staff that have worked on this, doing a great job. Don't ask for a raise. Okay, good. And the press release will go out.
Yeah. Okay. It already went to Ed Kramer.
Good. Okay.
And I'm sure he got quote. That's why I sit with him and sit with him.
Okay.
Because he gives us friendly fire. So.
Okay. And you're gonna send me those talking points that we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, we'll learn from that.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. All right, this is no further business. We will adjourn the meeting at 3:29. All right, thank you very much, everybody.